Dudes, recorded February 3rd, 2015. Network Pickups. All right, guys, let's get this show on the road.
Hey, CW.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? That's what we're doing, right?
No. Wait,
we're pickups.
Yo, you can take this.
I'm gonna pick up
you
CW.
You take that CW. I'm gonna take the Fox.
I'm gonna pick up CW because it's young and appropriate.
It's a little bit. It might be a little bit young for me.
I'm not where I gotta pick up CBS.
I can
hit a solid ABC.
I kind of like the MILF. I kind of like the MILF action, so I'll go with the CBS.
I think CBS is more. It's older than MILF.
I'm an old man myself.
I'll go with NBC. I think they
NBC?
Might be desperate enough to get
yeah. Yeah, there you go. No,
I think the cable.
We can't touch ABC. We all know that.
No, I don't know if I can touch. I don't know, man. HBO is like high class.
Yeah, HBO. No, HBO's out of everybody's league.
But I think, you know what? I think AMC is about to have a very bad breakup. So I think maybe they're ripe for the pickings.
Yeah, AMC, it's classy. But it's just like. That whole marriage is falling apart.
I know. It's falling apart. I think I can move in.
Has this gotten creepy yet?
Well, what about FX?
FX is a dude.
Oh.
But if you're going to do a dude.
An FXX is like a classiest dude. It's like, yeah. Classless
like
dude.
Pitt.
Or it's yeah. like, wait, ah!
Understand.
Or is it like Neil Patrick Harris?
Okay.
You know, like,
no, that's Bravo.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you guys for checking us out this week. We are talking about network pickups, among other things. We're going to talk about The Americans coming back to TV, maybe another show or two here and there sprinkled in. But for the most part, a lot of networks are picking up some new TV shows, so we're going to go in and discuss some of that. We also got some news for you guys, and before we get to all of that, let's go around the room and introduce ourselves. I'm Grant Davis, and with me is...
I'm Randy Lander.
Gregory Julian Amani Smith.
Oh,
you're
Julian?
Adding more now?
That's what the J stands for. So.
Oh, I thought we were going to keep that a mystery for a
no,
few seasons.
No, I can't.
Okay.
Sorry.
Julian.
Maybe I should change it. That's the only time I'll ever mention it. So it'll be a very special, listeners
are. Episode 18 yeah. where Greg reveals his middle name?
Yeah, isn't it like, wasn't it like Seinfeld where you finally found out?
Wiki.
You found out Kramer's name like, and yeah. nobody cared?
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Cosmo. Ah. I don't know. I remember it.
Gregory, Cosmo, Julian, Amani Smith.
Just tacking
another
one.
We're just going to keep adding on.
I like yeah. that.
So before we get into that, guys, we're going to do some iTunes shout-outs.
Yeah.
These people went to the iTunes store. They gave us a 5-star rating and wrote a little review, and we read it here on the show. Doing that really helps us out, so please go and do it. Just take a second of your time, and we really appreciate it. We only got one today, but that one comes from... It's either the Min or the Mon. It's like, you know, when they have a default character,
sure.
like there's
mm-hmm.
an error.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's a giant rectangle. The M, rectangle N, the man? I don't know. And the title is, once again, it's Will They, Won't They?
Oh, no. Is this becoming a thing?
He says, it's an amazing podcast for TV lovers. Also, it has a great romantic plot where the guys fight over a southern gentleman named Grant who will go for... Wait, what? What's it saying? It says, who will Grant go for? P.S. Who is singing that song, Such Great Heights? I can't find it. Help me. Oh.
Postal Service.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. it's Postal
it's a remake?
Service,
yeah.
but I think I downloaded a cover of it
somewhere. Okay.
Let me look that up. Okay, here it is. It is a cover of Such Great Heights, which was a Postal Service song, but it's done in the style of both the Postal Service and the Jackson 5, and it's by Kaya Victoria.
Ooh.
So, go check that out. Kaya is K-A-I-H, and then Victoria.
All right.
I just found it on YouTube. Thought it was a good cover. And... Then, once again, yeah, thanks for the iTunes shout-out. Please, everyone, go and do that. Helps us out. Let's move on to some listener questions. So, these people follow us on Twitter. They follow us on Facebook. We'll post there.
Follow us down the street.
Yeah, they follow us down the street. Leave us alone. Restraining order. First one comes from Thor Wodinson. He says, with more folks cutting the cord, more web series, and lower costs for ProShot TV, can we expect more sponsored content, i.e. old soaps? Yes. In fact, I think we are already seeing it. I mean, I think of like The New Girl or Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I see their sponsored content already dropped in, product placement.
I don't, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's been a while. Like, it's been going on for a long time. Like in this recent new era of TV, because I remember distinctly 24, like season 3, it was all about the Ford pickup.
Yeah.
They did all F-150. The whole season they were driving F-150s.
Big car chase with an F-150. Yeah. Well, so 30 Rock was already making fun of their product placement.
Right.
Even while doing it.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we're going to see much more. I feel like we've already kind of hit that. Yeah. I mean, unless we get to really ridiculous, like every second there's product placement.
Well, I mean, it got big with Mad Men, obviously, because of the advertising thing. But right. I just remember specifically just like that was the first time I remember, other than like a PBS show, that wow, there's a network show that's all about Fords, and they would put the commercials of Fords kind of so you couldn't tell between 24 and the Ford commercial. It's just not. Yeah. It was a pain in the ass. I hated it.
Well,
but I mean, I don't.
You know,
I don't
funny
know.
The funny thing is that it's harder to skip commercials with streaming content than it is with DVR.
You know what? That's one of the one things I was gonna say. I keep forgetting whenever I do my DVR versus streaming thing. I hate watching YouTube now, because of all the freaking ads that you cannot skip. At least on DVR, I can fast forward to ads. But on YouTube and some of the streaming services, like the network streaming services, have, you know, and you can see the little dot when you're looking at the window pane
where the ads
are going to be.
However,
that's annoying.
There is a software called AdBlock that you can install that will block all that stuff.
Okay, well, then I might need to do that. Okay,
thank you. Yeah, I think that in general, and like I said, I'm not technically sophisticated enough to know, but in general, I think it's easier to get ads in front of eyeballs in streaming than it is on DVR content these days. So I would think it wouldn't have that effect of making more native advertising.
And it's a lot cheaper to do. That's why a lot of newspapers and a lot of the money is being lost with some of the networks and stuff.
Yeah.
Because even if on NBC, if I've got a Chevy ad, it costs way too much money to put on the Super Bowl or Sunday Night Football,
right.
But I can do it on the blacklist when they're streaming it, even if they're streaming it for free.
Right.
But Chevy's not going to pay what they pay for the Super Bowl or any broadcast TV, so they're not making that money. So.
Right.
But I don't know.
All right, well, let's move on to the next question. Kyle Volte, speaking of the Super Bowl, asks, after the nationwide Super Bowl Dead Kid commercial, which was the nationwide, I believe, commercial, he's wondering if there's any commercials that we've seen that affected our emotions profoundly.
You know what's weird? The Google commercials. Remember those Google commercials they were doing? It was like the email from
dad,
like the dad and the kid?
Yeah.
That got me every time.
Yeah. I thought that was, I mean, you know, it's like, oh, that's really cute.
Yeah.
That affected me that way. Not like crying or anything.
No, well, you're a robot.
I'm a robot.
When you cry, you don't cry. I don't know. I mean, I can't think of, like, that commercial was, I don't know, it's a commercial. I didn't really feel either way about it. I mean, I don't have kids yet, so obviously I don't have that gut level version of it. But I'm like, okay, it makes sense. Have insurance so the kid doesn't die. Okay. Or if the kid, whatever. I'm like, whatever. But as far as like any other commercials that make me actually, the one actually made me feel was the violence,
the domestic violence.
That one was much more
intense.
That was more intense for me personally, because I know I've had people get killed by that I know personally. But that whole pizza order thing in the house, I was like, ooh, you know, I don't know. That hit me personally, but it didn't. But still, it's a commercial, and I know about those issues. So
commercials have made me feel hungry.
Commercials have made me laugh.
Is that an emotion?
or laughing.
Was it because you mentioned pizza in that other one? The domestic abuse one?
Yeah, I was like, wow, I could go for a pizza.
Wow, that's some cold shit, man.
I remember seeing off of Reddit, there was this commercial, I want to say it was like in Norway, that was advertising, it was talking about PTSD.
Oh.
And it was this idea of this guy just going through battle, and like he saw one of his friends die, and then his other army buddy came up as he's like freaking out and like looking down at his legs that are missing and starts licking his face.
Yeah.
And it seems like really weird at first. And then all of a sudden he wakes up and realizes it's his dog who's there to help him with his PTSD. And I was like, it was really jarring at first.
Yeah.
But I was pretty good. Man, that's so powerful. Like,
That's a powerful
You know what else? When I see those milk commercial ads, it makes me miss Johnny.
Yeah. Did he even have any?
Oh, Johnny.
Johnny.
They don't need milk commercial ads now. It's all in Gotham. It's all product placement.
Sweet Gotham money.
It's all product placement. All
right. Next question comes from Ali Render Porter. Says, do any of you have shows you save to watch with someone else? Even if it means falling behind when schedules conflict, is that the definition of love or friendship? Which you'll do that for, which you won't.
I know both of you guys do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. I actually...
Because you're a cold-hearted bastard.
No, because my wife doesn't watch TV.
What about your kids? Do you have stuff that...
You know, I actually say that. No, because my daughter is much like me. She's like, I'm going to watch it when I watch it. You watch it later.
I thought you guys watched Doctor Who together or something.
We watch Doctor Who together, but if I wait too long, she'll watch it without me. It's never me watching without her.
Yeah.
It's always her watching without me. But I finally recorded the first two episodes of Jane the Virgin because I've been hearing really good things about it, and Katie wanted to watch it. And then I came home one day and discovered she had watched it and deleted it.
Oh, ouch.
Yep.
So,
I have a few like reality shows, Project Runway, Top Chef, stuff like that I have to watch with my wife. And then some of the lighthearted comedies like New Girl, Mindy Project, Modern Family. I watch those with her.
Yeah.
So that's why I often fall behind because
do you have a deal that you have to watch them with her?
It's just kind of understood. Yeah. We watch it together.
Yeah.
And we've watched them always from the beginning. So
I would say the same for me and Helene. We watch Modern Family and Blackish together, but like even the dramatic shows, because even though we both teach now, I still stay up later than she does.
Yeah, yeah.
So she'll fall asleep while I'm watching Justified, and I'll just rewatch it with her the next day.
Oh, okay.
So or the next.
So she does watch it. You don't watch it, and she doesn't watch it. But
oh no, well she'll watch it another time.
Right.
But I'm usually in the room with her. I don't mind being in the room with her while she's watching it again because then I see something else I didn't see.
Yeah.
Yeah, mainly reality shows, or like she'll pull something for me to watch.
Yeah,
like you got to watch this one.
See, this is the thing that I know, and I know Allie, so I know that basically it's like you have to wait, you have to watch it together. But I never understood why you can't say, "Well, I'll watch it and then I'll rewatch it with you."
Yeah,
but sometimes you want that fresh experience.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I do that all the time. I do that all the time.
Reality shows, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, would you be sitting there giving things away? Like, you give away a cue that you know is happening?
I wouldn't be as engaged.
Oh, okay.
And then it's kind of like, what's the point?
Yeah,
I mean, if it's not a shared experience at that point.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Yeah.
Next question comes from Chris Hatfield. It says, what do you guys think of ABC's Shonda Rhimes programming block? Like Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, Grey's Anatomy. Will viewers grow tired of that type of drama? Or has ABC struck gold with her slate of shows?
Yes. To both, yes.
People will grow tired of it.
People will grow tired of it. For right now, they have struck gold. Yeah.
People remember Darren K-Star.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's like some showrunners get that zeitgeist for whatever it is, and they'll rule for like a decade.
Dick Wolf.
Well,
he's got his shows now, but he's not at the height he was.
Right. But I mean, and I find it great. I'm happy for her. I mean, I like seeing African American women do well.
Yeah.
I'm happy that she's employing, you know, has diverse cast and stuff. Her shows don't appeal to me.
Yeah, me neither. But
I'm happy for her, and any success she gets is great. But I mean, it's like, that's the thing, is like, just because I don't watch it doesn't mean it's not good. It's just not my taste, you know?
Now, going to the part of, will the audience grow tired of it?
Yeah,
they
grow tired of everything.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. I mean, there's only so much. I mean, you're going to grow tired of everything. If Breaking Bad had run several more seasons, we would have grown tired of that.
Well, I mean, I guess when I read grow tired of it, I mean, I see that as in anytime soon, or do you think this will have a good long era?
Oh, I think they got a few more years at least.
Yeah, I would say 2 more years. I mean, two or three. I mean, they've been on for like 4 or 5 already. Yeah,
I'd give this 5 to 7.
I don't.
It's only been a block for 1 year.
What? Well, shoof. I'm trying to think. Okay, what is the longest running TV show that's not like 60 Minutes or a sports show or
Simpsons.
Something like that? Okay, or not the Simpsons. Well, not the Simpsons. I mean, maybe
I'm
Network.
Thinking things like, how long did Dallas run? You know,
I don't know.
Dallas wasn't that long, I guess.
No.
But
no, but I mean, in recent memory, I mean, other than Breaking Bad,
five or six seasons is probably about right.
Actually, I would say actually the one maybe is Good Wife. It's been on.
Yeah, Good Wife's been on a while.
I Met Your Mother did like 10 seasons.
Yeah. But in like this new, but that kind of block you're saying, I don't know. Yeah.
I could see. I think it's probably a little longer than two, but yeah. I would say no more than five. But I don't know. We'll see.
You know, it depends, though. It depends. Actually, it's not. I don't think it depends on her. I think it's going to depend on the stars of the show, how long they feel like doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
If they start moving on and getting tired or demanding too much money, then people get killed off and changes the show.
Yep.
We got one more question. This might be a little bit difficult for us to answer, but let's go for it. Dennis McElwain says, which TV shows that you have liked does nobody seem to remember or talk about? For him, he loved Larry Sanders Show, Brimstone, and Vengeance Unlimited.
Those are all good. I don't know what Vengeance Unlimited, but the other two I really liked.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, the difficulty of this question is I come here once a week and I'll kind of bring up anything I recall.
You know what? You know what shows people don't really remember that I really liked? Yeah. Lights Out. From FX?
Well, yeah, I mean...
Nobody remembers that show.
Well, I remember that show. Oh, okay.
We do, but...
Okay, the
Pepperidge
other...
Farms remembers.
Man, that is an old commercial reference, man. I'm impressed
Pepperidge
by
Farms
that.
Pepperidge Farms remembers. Nobody remembers Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Yeah, that's
great. Like a double irony inception
I know.
Joke.
Wanted was a TNT show that I really enjoyed. Do you guys ever see that show?
Yeah, I've never seen it, but you've talked about it.
Criminal was on...
Thief,
that's what I meant.
Up.
Thief was good, but I mean...
Smith... Another Thief show that that Ray Liotta was on. That was
that
a
was
great
good.
Show.
Oh, Kane. That was actually pretty good. Remember that Kane? You didn't
I
like Kane?
That. I didn't.
I didn't like it either,
but it was
I
one it. Was, it wasn't David Simon. It was the guy.
No, it was
one of his regular collaborators.
I can't remember.
I was annoyed because Richard Alpert left Lost for a season to do that.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Get your ass back to Lost. Yep.
Oh, I'll tell you the David Simon one that nobody ever talks about is Generation Kill.
Yeah, that's
true. Which is really good.
Also, Space Above and Beyond was an early sort of sci-fi thing on Fox. Fox has a lot of shows like that that
Rome?
Ran for one season or two, and we're good. I mean, it's not amazing, but it's probably the same level X-Files was at the time.
Better Off Ted. Andy Richter Saves the Universe.
Yeah. Oh, Andy Richter. That was funny.
Yeah.
That was really funny. Or what was the one with, what was the first, the Fox sitcom with, oh my God, the guy from Terriers. They have,
Donald Logue.
What was that? I loved that show.
Grounded for Life.
I loved that show.
Never saw Grounded for Life.
You never saw it?
It was good. No.
Oh, it was excellent. It was hilarious.
And Donald Logue had another failed show that I never saw, but it was the one like Let's Rob Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
No, that
it changed. I think it wasn't. It was either
the Knights of
something.
Yeah.
Something. But that Donald Logue show on Fox is what got me into him. I'm like, this guy's hilarious.
Yep.
But any shows like that you would recommend people catch up on? Like Rome, I was trying to say it was Rome.
Rome.
I thought Rome was really good on HBO. I mean, there's a lot of them.
You know, there's a lot of good shows. I mean, like The Unusuals was a one-season show from the showrunner of Fargo with Jeremy Renner and Michael Paranow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposedly great. I never saw it. It's not on Netflix anymore. But the thing is, there are so many good shows that just vanish.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's any number of it. Like Almost Human is one of these shows.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
I thought it doesn't even
exist anymore, basically, and it's only been a season.
I would say what was the one? No, that got picked up. I was going to say Tyrant, which got really good at the end, but
and we're going maybe back 5-10 years here. There's if you go back 20 or 30, there's probably all kinds of great shows that just got lost.
I mean, maybe that needs to be another topic we return to. Gone too soon again.
Yeah, I think I like that.
All right, well, how about we go ahead and take a break before we jump into the news? Let me hit this real quick. Charles Armstrong did post on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
He said, next time you guys record, can you please talk about this? NBC has literally become as absurd as the fake promos at the end of Community Season 5.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting. We're going to talk about that in our news segment coming up. We'll be right back.
So when we say pickup,
yeah,
we mean pilot pickup. They haven't actually announced any of these. They're not doing the crazy Fox order things to series anymore.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a confusing terminology, but pickup is generally the term for
Variety's calling them pickups. We're going to call them pickups.
Yeah. They Variety's order a pilot.
Variety also calls them skines and shingles and berths and uses all kinds of crazy showbiz talk.
Knickknacks and paddywhacks.
Knickknacks and paddywhacks and give dogs bones.
Yeah.
It's interesting. That's actually, I think that's NBC's new fall comedy, Give a Dog a Bone.
A bone.
Yep.
Starring.
It's going to be so good.
Oh, my gosh.
What are you making fun of, Dan Harmon?
No, the thing is, I will say 30 Rock managed to get NBC to its craziest point because remember, 30 Rock had Bitch Hunter by Will Ferrell.
Right.
And MILF Island.
Yeah.
And crazy as Dan Harmon's community promos were, 30 Rock had gotten there first and made it even... They haven't quite gotten to that level yet.
I appreciate that. It seems like I only see this mainly on NBC and sometimes Fox,
mm-hmm.
where their shows will actually make fun of the network they're on.
Yeah.
But the most eviscerating is generally on NBC.
Yeah.
Like, we're on the station that just puts out bullshit.
Yep, yeah. Now, their comedy is in sad, sad shape right now. So they've got... four pickups here that we've seen so far. I think they've made like 9 total, but I don't see all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's one for sharing, which
is
a single camera workplace comedy about the different groups of people working side by side in a shared office space.
Never heard of it. I've never experienced
it. That is the most generic.
People do not share.
What is this? What is this sharing office space with different cultures? I don't understand. I've never experienced it. I've never seen it. Totally. I'm all in. I didn't even hear anything else.
There's an untitled Monica Potter vehicle.
Who is Monica Potter? Am I the only person who doesn't know who she is?
You know, she's the wife of Nick Cage and Con Air. Duh.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's actually accurate. That's
how can I miss that?
Is,
I can't name anything else. That
wow,
it is. She was in Parenthood, I think.
Was she?
I think that's where she was.
Oh, okay.
So I've seen her in stuff.
Okay.
I don't know who she is, but I've seen her in stuff. She's executive producer Ellen DeGeneres. It stars get ready. It's mm-hmm. pretty out there. A woman juggling her busy family life as well as her 3 ex-husbands, which proves to be difficult when she starts. Is this reverse? What's the show that Trophy Wife?
Trophy Wife.
Is this a gender flip Trophy Wife? 3 ex-husbands.
Husbands?
She's dating again. She's not married,
right.
So it's not quite. But
right.
That's I don't know, man.
Yeah,
it's just the most generic thing I've ever heard.
With a woman who the biggest claim to fame was being in a bad Nick Cage movie.
Did you say bad? Hold on, we have to stop the podcast.
You mean awesome?
What did you just say?
What movie?
Con Air is one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Oh,
put the bunny down. So good.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi is great in it.
Come on, everyone. John Malkovich is so handy.
And Bubba is missing his insulin shots. I mean,
Ving Rhames, Diamond Dog,
Diamond Dog.
No.
Steve Buscemi as a Hannibal Lecter type?
I can't.
That movie is genius.
Danny Trejo. All of it is
yes,
so good.
Yes, it's so good.
John,
it's terrible.
A big meeting.
John Cusack driving a nice sports car after a plane.
John Cusack at his action hero best. Where's the Con Air TV show?
Oh, man.
Oh.
I really love that movie. Like, that one and The Rock came out like so many.
Wait, are we being serious?
I am. 100%.
No, oh, my God. I know he is.
So many times.
I know he is. We all have that movie that's like not great, but we love it anyway. It's not mine.
I love it.
This
I love
is,
it.
Is great.
I love it for great. Its. I love it the same way I love National Treasure.
I hate you guys. Let's go back to talking about NBC.
Why does Nick Cage seems to be ripe for an NBC show? Actually.
Yeah, he should totally.
Nick Cage. It should
just
be
give him money and let him do whatever he wants.
Just be the Nick Cage show. He can do whatever he wants
variety.
Each week.
I
variety
feel like
show.
Nick Cage would be along the lines of Chevy Chase. Where, like, he'd be in there, but he wouldn't be getting the humor that's lobbed at him.
Yeah, no.
Nick Cage.
Too above the joke.
Wait a minute. How about this? I got a pitch for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage stars as a crazy family man with a busy life who works at an ethnically diverse office.
I love that. I love it.
It solves crime by night. Turns into a mass murderer. Is he chasing himself? I don't know.
And he's a werewolf. Because why not?
Yeah, why? because they love.
And they cut his face off and put it on with John Travolta again.
And a superhero. He's a superhero werewolf.
Oh.
Anyway, I don't know.
Anyway,
sorry.
NBC has some other pilots. I'd watch it.
Yeah.
Get on that, NBC. Cuckoo, based on the BBC Three series that starred Andy Samberg as an offbeat American who marries into a British family. First of all, Andy Samberg was in a BBC series?
I know. I did not know about this.
And I guess he ended up quitting it because Brooklyn Nine-Nine took off.
That's crazy.
But and Taylor Lautner, I think is what I read, took over. Wait, Taylor Lautner? Is that who it says?
Yes, yeah. Taylor Lautner. I'm looking at
yes.
it. Is that the same guy from... is that the same dude from Twilight?
I don't
know.
Wait, who the hell is Taylor Lautner?
That's the Richard...
He played Nicolas Cage's bunny in...
Oh, you're talking about Taylor Lautner. did he play like the werewolf guy?
Yeah, it is a werewolf dude. Oh. Twilight.
Wow, there you go.
Taylor Lautner.
All right, then.
Weird.
This is a weird day.
Okay, so anyway.
This is getting weird.
Go on with Cuckoo.
I don't know if I can.
No?
I don't know what it's about. It says that the BBC series starred Andy Samberg as an offbeat American who married into a British family. It does not in any way explain what the NBC version is going to look like. Is it an offbeat British person who marries into an American family?
Yeah.
So Cuckoo is set in Litchfield, Staffordshire. Man, so British. home to the Thompson family. When Ken and Lorna collect their daughter, Rachel, from the airport, they learn she has returned from her gap year having married Cuckoo, which was Andy Samberg's name, an eccentric American hippie with an all-loving attitude who does not have a job and loves to take drugs. So I'm guessing they're just going to take and flip this for the American audience, and they're going to bring back, what's our evil American equivalent, Australia?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Evil Australian's going to
come over. Is this Dharma and Greg? Sounds like Dharma and Greg.
Dharma and Greg.
Sounds like it. But once again, gender swapped.
Gender swapped. Ooh. Gender swapped Dharma and Greg. That's the thing.
Next, and we're going to be getting an all-female cast of Ghostbusters.
No, next we're going to be getting...
I'm kidding. That's awesome.
Problem Child.
Problem Child. No, NBC.
This is a... This
from
is
the
a
writer
movie.
Of The Hangover. Sorry. The Hangover Part 2.
Oh. Not even the original one.
What's the difference between the second and the first one, really?
First one's watchable.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Second one's like a bad... Like vomiting.
Okay,
out of
right. The 30-minute single cam family comedy inspired by the original 1990 film, which the late John Ritter starred, follows the cat and mouse game between a brilliant yet mischievous child and his parents.
It's ridiculous. Who wants to watch a show like that?
Yeah, you know what? I already begrudgingly accept children into my television shows. And one that's just centered around a kid? No, thank you.
You know what? Just
sorry
watch
about a boy.
Just watch watch YouTube clips. Because you're going to see the reality ones. I'm like, hey, let me put my cute, precocious child up here, you know, hitting me in the nuts with a baseball bat.
Can I tell you what would make Problem Child a great show?
What?
Have Will Ferrell play the kid.
Oh, my God. Have Nick Cage play the dad.
Have Nick Cage play the kid.
And Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell plays the adult.
Oh.
And the wife is played by Monica Potter, who's a werewolf.
That would be awesome. That's like a Mork and Mindy when they had Jonathan Winters in as a kid.
Why is NBC not returning my calls?
I don't know. You're there to make money.
I'm telling you, your ideas are more interesting than the ideas of coming up with this with their stuff.
Well, Greg, let me hit you with another one. See, right. I think NBC might have it on this
right,
one.
Right,
it sounds pretty edgy.
Okay.
It's an untitled show starring Asim Batra from The Cleveland Show and Scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I think was played the bunny in Con Air.
Right.
Yeah.
Described as a politically incorrect comedy centered on best friends Dale and Georgie, whose relationship is upended when he starts dating the perfect woman.
Uh-oh.
It's two best friends, and suddenly one of them's dating, and it throws the whole thing out of whack.
Wow, I've never had that happen.
So it's kind of like A to Z if they just didn't show the female perspective as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
okay.
But it is... Joe and Anthony Russo, you might remember from Winter Soldier,
yes,
are involved in some way.
Okay.
Ah, I'm back in being interested.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought this was that shared office space comedy or whatever. I thought that's what they were doing.
Nope.
Oh.
Okay.
Well.
Oh, well, important to know, though, this does include the producers behind Animal Practice, so...
Oh.
You back on board?
Oh, my gosh. Animal Practice. NBC. Here's a show we forgot about and don't talk about that... I don't think anybody watched.
Here's what I want to know. The Russo brothers had a vastly successful Marvel film. They're working on Captain America 3. Why on earth would they go back to do this? Is this they put their name on it?
Put their name on it. Yeah. Just like Spielberg tacked his name onto a bunch of crap lately.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's fun. That's what it's got to be awesome to be in Hollywood. Because
I'm producing it.
Well, yeah, because it's like if you've got the right connections, it's like you put up a direct show like Animal Practice, which sucked, which is terrible.
Yep.
But you keep getting bites at the apple. You know what I mean?
See, I could wake in Hollywood. All I need
I'm telling you.
I just take meetings every day and just say, add a werewolf.
And you still get paid. and it is money just running around. It's like,
you know,
give me some of that.
This Teen Wolf show could handle?
Werewolf.
More werewolf.
Werewolf.
A little more werewolf.
A little more werewolf.
I feel like I'm stealing Bo's catchphrase.
He's
not using it anymore.
Wow. Yeah,
he hasn't used that in a half.
Talk about a blast from the past.
All right, so should we stop beating up on NBC for a little while?
Let's go beat up on someone else.
Okay, let's beat up on ABC.
ABC.
ABC has ordered 7 comedy pilots because, you know, they keep killing perfectly good ones. Like
next week maybe we'll get some of the dramas.
Yeah. So this includes one from Johnny Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
Based on his life following a 12-year-old Johnny Knoxville in his hometown of Knoxville, Tennessee. Really? Is Knoxville, Tennessee? Okay.
Come on.
The series, which he will narrate, will expose the childhood experience that inspired him to become the prankster that he is today.
Wait, the thing is, he hasn't grown up. He still acts like he's 12 years old. So why don't we just follow him in reality?
I don't want to see how a 12-year-old becomes a douchebag.
Yeah.
I can see that for free.
Again, how that guy has got a career.
Anyway,
I don't know. I like the guy,
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see. They've ordered a pilot for a multi-camera comedy, Dolores and Jermaine, based on the life of comedian Jermaine Fowler. Anybody? Jermaine Fowler?
Jermaine?
I know Jermaine Clement.
Okay, sure. It could be him.
I know Jermaine Jackson.
We'll assume it's him. He stars as a millennial who moves in with his strict estranged grandmother, a football-loving former cop. Wait, what?
What's his name? Jermaine what?
Fowler. Jermaine Fowler. A football-loving former cop who needs Jermaine's youthful enthusiasm just as much as he needs her parenting.
Okay.
Jermaine Fowler. Okay, I see this guy.
I'm aware, by the way, I know all comedies sound terrible when you pitch them. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is, you know, set in the wacky Brooklyn Police Department. It, you know, just doesn't sound that interesting. So I shouldn't judge too harshly, but these sound worse than usual.
Okay, so Jermaine Fowler was in Orange and New Black, and he was MTV's Guy Code and Comedy Central's Comedy Underground.
Yeah, no one knows who this is yet.
I don't know who this guy is.
Up and coming, though.
All right. So,
he might be funny. I'll give him a chance.
His grandmother's a football-loving former cop.
We can wait until we see the upfronts, I guess.
Well, I want to see
much better.
I want to see who else is casting it.
Here's an untitled NBA project, a buddy comedy set in the basketball world, following a non-English-speaking rookie and a non-basketball-speaking translator.
Nope.
That's Yao Ming.
I mean,
yeah. That's
why do they keep doing?
That's one of those things. And I love the NBA, but
now keep in mind these have been picked up for pilots.
Yeah.
The King of 7B.
We might never hear these again.
Yeah.
An ensemble comedy.
Wait, what's this one called again?
The King of 7B.
So an apartment
follows an agoraphobic recluse, Prentice Porter, who ventures outside for the first time in 20 years, only to find his potential soulmate moving into the building across the street.
Maybe.
A little weird, but that's okay.
That
sounds a little bit better.
Yep.
Yeah.
The 46 Percenters, an anti-romantic rom-com about the 46% of the population who choose to stay married, is told through perspectives of 3 different couples.
No, I'm not interested
coming,
in that.
I mean, it's still coming on the heels of that 47% comment of Romney. Yeah. I think it's a little weird.
And it's weird, and I'm telling you, man, I think people need to stay away from rom-coms or any type of romantic
thing. Or Romney-coms.
Romney. Oh,
that's
I like the way you did
what?
That.
I got it. Mitt Romney. Divorces his wife, has to scramble for money, and it's him dating and trying to find love while dealing with the fact that he's become a werewolf.
Wait, did you see that guy's house in Los Angeles or California?
Focus, Randy.
What?
No.
Did I do it again? Did I say werewolf again?
Mitt Romney.
No, I don't even know I'm doing it.
Plus, Mitt Romney will
never be
broke.
Ever since I got
broke.
This bite.
Oh, boy.
We're going off the rails here.
Whenever the full moon hits, we record a podcast.
What else has ABC got for us?
There's an untitled Judah Miller project that will be written and executive produced by Miller. Don't know who that is.
Okay.
Judith Miller.
Single cam series will center on a couple who's forced outside their comfort zone into the world of youth sports when they realize their son is a natural born competitive athlete.
Judith Miller, that's not the one from Transparent. That's Judith.
No, that's Judith Light.
Judith Light. Okay.
Kind of sounds like Malcolm in the Middle, except for like sports instead of genius.
Sure.
Maybe.
The Brainy Bunch. The Brainy Bunch.
Oh, boy.
Are you kidding?
A single cam comedy about couple Kip and Mona Lisa Mitchell, who find themselves raising extremely intelligent children thanks to genetics and dynamic homeschooling. However, when Kip returns home from the military to be a stay-at-home dad, he experiences the parenting challenges of fathering a socially limited genius and a werewolf.
So wait. This is ridiculous. That's funny.
I'm sorry. I had to do something to make it interesting. Okay.
That show sounds terrible.
So ABC is not looking particularly strong either yet.
Oh, shit. Was that all seven of them?
That's everything. Nothing there sounded particularly great.
You're killing me. All right. Well, let's move over to, I don't know, Fox or CBS?
Sure, oh boy. Fox. Okay, Fox, hang on. Let's see, Fox.
You gotta clear the tears out of your eyes.
You guys, I wish I should put video on this. They're laughing so hard at this. And you know what? Half the people have no idea what we're talking about. That's what's funny about
the other half,
11.
Werewolves.
Werewolves. They're dying. They love it.
Gail Berman is back in the comedy biz. You might know Gail Berman. If you don't, I don't until the end of this article where it says that she headed the Regency TV shingle that birthed Fox's hit domestic comedy, Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, hey.
So that's actually good.
Surprised they didn't throw in Brian Cranston.
So she has a pilot order for Cooper Barrett's Guide to Surviving Life.
What?
It's about the mistakes and misadventures of people experience in the years after college and before settling down.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Really?
I don't like when titles are like that.
Yeah.
The hilarious misadventures of Christine or whatever the hell that show was.
Well, that was actually a pretty good show.
But yeah.
Hate the title.
You know what a good title is?
Uh-oh. Why?
Friends.
I thought you'd say...
Yeah, we were so poised.
I know. That's what I zigged when you thought I was going to say.
I was waiting for like American Werewolf and Milk or something.
Is that what we got from Fox right now?
That's all we got from Fox. And then CBS.
Oh,
what
no.
has CBS got for us?
Well,
okay, they're actually, they've got drama here. For Justice.
Dun-dun-dun.
It's veteran showrunner Renee Balcer of Law & Order.
Oh.
Executive producer Robert De Niro.
What?
Along with a bunch of other people who probably just put their name on it.
So is Chaz Palminteri in it?
not that I can see, but okay. That would be good. Centers on a female FBI agent working in the criminal section of the Department of Civil Rights Division.
Ooh.
Who finds herself caught between her radical real family and her professional family.
Oh.
Based on James Patterson's novel, The Thomas Berryman Number.
Have you ever read any of his stuff?
I have not.
Okay. No, I he's always advertising his stuff with his characters. I'm mildly interested. I don't know.
Meh.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just
civil rights lawyer, criminal division. Is there a criminal section like civil rights? I didn't know this.
Of the FBI?
Civil rights? FBI? What?
I don't know. Anyway. It doesn't sound interesting to me.
How about Sneaky Pete?
Sneaky Pete. Is this a drama?
Comes from House MD creator David Shore, penning the project along with co-writer Brian Cranston of Breaking Bad.
Huh.
Follows a 30-something con man who takes the identity of his past cellmate upon leaving jail. Dubbed Sneaky Pete, he hides from his debtors while working at his fake family's bail bond business and uses his charm and criminal prowess to take down bad guys worse than himself, partnering with an attractive female cousin, in quotes, who has her suspicions about his real motives. Half of that sounds really good, and half of it sounds terrible.
Well, because there's like Sneaky Pete, I'm thinking, oh, is this like a crossover between
Mad Men and Dexter?
So Pete leaves the advertising agency, and then you realize he's basically Don Draper too, and then he goes off and fights criminals in a pawn shop or something.
I'm not gonna do it. I'm just not.
Go ahead.
Are you not gonna?
Go ahead. You got to. It's all you.
And he's a werewolf.
He's a werewolf.
Yeah, no, the thing about this, a con man who takes any of his past cellmate, that's interesting to me. That's like Elmore Leonard territory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then taking fighting down crime. Bad guys, that's CBS procedural territory.
Yeah.
Attractive female cousin, that's different. That's
Maybe
another
it's just
thing.
Kind of one of those necessities. You need some episodic formula.
It may be.
In order to initially sell anything. Now.
Yeah, but it's all CBS. I mean, they have some arcs, but they do a lot of episodic stuff. I mean,
isn't it the age of the anti-hero? Isn't it? I mean, we're past it. It's past its prime. So isn't it time for CBS to get into that business?
Of course. Yeah. That's you why know, they hired once... Brian Cranston.
What else do they got?
CBS also has a drama pilot, LFE. It's a medical project.
Oh.
LFE. I think that was a 90s boy band, right?
I think it's a typo.
LFE or
supposed to have I. It's supposed to have the I in there.
Life.
Is you it
can't.
L-I-F-E?
You can't spell. It's LFE. I'm sure. And it's a medical drama.
Oh.
You can't spell life without I.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be their tagline.
I think so, yeah. And it's going to be very... because actually, you know, it may be, because it's described as a high-octane medical procedure following second-year residents at the top hospital in New York City as they attempt to balance their God complexes with their humanity.
Oh. And it's on the I Network,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yes. You can't spell life without I. Yeah. That's how self-centered they are.
Oh,
but
boy.
What if they actually are gods and have like godlike powers? Because that's more interesting to me. Maybe the God complexes, they actually have like power to throw lightning bolts.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
All the Greek gods ended up going to medical school together. It's like a clone high or something.
Cupid works in obstetrics.
Zeus, you asshole, man. Yeah. Stop cheating off of me.
Zeus cheated on me with a goat.
And Hermes runs the ambulance because he's like the super fast guy. I would watch this.
Hades, you know what? Works in the morgue.
Hades works in the morgue.
You know what? By the way, another NBC idea. You know, you hit the Grim fairy tales. What about the Greek gods? Nobody does TV shows the Greek gods. Like, you know, where's Zeus and like you said, Hermes and all those cats?
They had the show Cupid.
But I mean, but actually the Greek gods on Earth, and they got, and there's some kind of battle. Maybe that's new heroes. I don't know.
Maybe they're all trapped in some guy's head, like a Herman's head with Greek gods.
Greek gods, yeah.
Herman's head. Yeah. That's a good... Wow.
All right. USA, and here's a sentence I never thought I'd say.
Right.
USA has the most interesting pilot of anything we've heard here tonight.
Okay.
They picked up a series called Colony from Carlton Cuse... who Grant might be familiar with.
Yeah, he's a Lost guy. He and Damon Lindelof are my heroes. I have a poster of them on my wall.
Yeah. Starring Josh Holloway. I think he also was in Lost.
Hey!
Yeah.
What, that intelligence didn't do anything on CBS?
He played a good old boy.
So Colony stars Josh Holloway and Sarah Wayne Callis, you might remember as the mom we all hated on Walking Dead.
And from Prison Break.
And from Prison Break.
I also hated her there.
It's a co-production between Legendary Television, who are the guys who do like 300 and that kind of stuff, and Universal Cable Productions, shooting in Los Angeles, set in the near future. This is interestingly vague. It says it centers on a family headed up by Holloway and Kellis, who must make difficult decisions as they balance staying together with trying to survive. They live in L.A., which has been occupied by a force of outside intruders. While some people have chosen to collaborate with the authorities and benefit from the new order, others have rebelled and suffer the consequences.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I looked at the picture, and it's got some Asian guy in a military outfit. I mean, right now, with our political climate, I was like, oh, is it like supposed to be like North Korea or maybe some surrogate?
See, that's what I was trying to... Do they mean intruders, or is this a sci-fi thing? Is it like going to be aliens or something?
Or is it... Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I mean, Cusack does tend to do...
It could be Red Dawn. With aliens.
I'd watch that
show. Escape from L.A. with the whole family instead of just Kurt Russell. I'd watch that.
Yeah. And Colony. I mean, maybe it's a little bit more alien-ish.
I think it might be. But I don't know. It could also be, you know, like I say, it could also be a thing where it's like a foreign power has moved in. And it's Red Dawn, but with North Korea.
I'm interested as well.
HBO's greenlit something, too.
Oh, yeah.
A miniseries, Lewis and Clark. From Tom Hanks, starring Casey Affleck.
Now, it's not just Tom Hanks. It's Tom Hanks,
and Brad Pitt,
and Edward Norton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now so the Fight Club boys. And Tom Hanks.
And Tom Hanks.
No. Tom Hanks was the other Tyler Durden. If you're not, you need to really, you watch really carefully.
Oh,
Tom
okay.
Hanks. Every time Tyler Durden, like the after image is Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks had bitch tits.
Yep. Lewis and Clark. They're going out to explore.
I mean, I think that's awesome.
I know, but you know, HBO
Tom Hanks
though
did the Earth to the Moon series.
Yeah, he did. I when I see Tom Hanks in HBO, I really have trust in it. But then you see big stars do like miniseries, like the Ernest Hemingway thing that was not good. Did you guys watch that?
No,
not good. You know that. So I get a little worried when they have these big epic miniseries.
Yeah.
And some of them are just. Dreck.
But then you get ones like John Adams was really good.
Which was awesome. John Adams was great.
Lewis and Clark, I think, is just
I would love it.
I think it's really good.
And I love it because I love that. I love American history. And I love all that stuff. And I love Casey Affleck.
Yeah, I really like
him a lot.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be good. And then they're doing an American version of Black Mirror.
Oh.
Oh.
Which they shouldn't do.
Why are they doing that?
The end.
What channel is that on?
We don't know yet, I don't think.
Oh. Mm. Why are they doing that?
I don't know why they're doing that.
Why do they keep doing that? All right, well, let's go ahead and take another quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about a little bit of TV. I'm
I'm hot just like an oven. I need some loving. And baby, I can't hold it much longer. It's getting stronger and stronger. And when I get that feeling, I want that sexual healing. Sexual healing. Oh, baby, makes me feel so fine. Helps to relieve my mind. Sexual healing, baby.
All right, so we're going to talk a little bit of TV. I guess a lot of the bulk of our episode this week was going to be in our previous discussion of werewolves and such.
Werewolves.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, The Americans came back, and this is certainly a show dear to all of our hearts that we really wanted to get into.
Sorry, I just had a werewolf in my head for some reason.
No! Not yeah. The American werewolf.
No. The Americans came back strong.
Oh.
Yeah, season three.
That opening scene was just...
The opening scene, did it remind you of the opening scene of season one? Where
yes,
he's
totally.
Like a mission goes bad, yeah. And suddenly it's brutal and ugly.
But the thing is, it was her.
It was her.
So, and I didn't realize...
Did you realize it was God?
No.
No,
no,
I didn't realize it until after.
I didn't get it until he came in the office with his busted up nose.
Yeah, yeah,
he looked,
me too.
He looked familiar.
Yeah,
but I didn't figure out that it was him until he came, and I'm like, oh wow, it was the boss that she punched out,
which was cool. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
She didn't kill either of them.
No.
But she dropped that note and left her fingerprints, and they got a sketch of her.
Yeah,
note.
It does not look good.
Like, oh no.
Yeah.
Plot is thickening.
Yeah. And the only other thing is, like, what I love about the Americans is that they take every little thing and just add a twist to it. Okay, to fight. And then I love the fact that she gets in the street, makes the motorcycle guy miss, and then the motorcycle is like slams into the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, that's what's so great about this show is, like, they take something like a basic premise and they keep sprinkling in these interesting ways to execute it. I really love it.
Yeah, that was a brutal, fantastic opening fight sequence.
Yeah.
And you didn't know. I mean, you didn't think she was going to get caught, but they sell you on believing that she might.
Yeah.
So what I like most about the show is when they are having the struggle between what they've grown comfortable with, their personal private life, and the business aspect of their being spies and the potential of their kids being dragged into it.
Yeah.
And it looks like with the daughter, Paige, they're really going to start exploring that this season.
Yeah.
And have the parents come to kind of, maybe not physical blows, but like, you know,
they're definitely not. That's going to stress their marriage because they'd gotten to a place of sort of detente with each other. Where they realized, you know, the first season was all about whether or not they were in a real marriage.
Mm. Right.
But the second season, they had sort of realized that they loved each other and this was a real marriage.
Right.
And now they're going to be forced with some more stress again because she's ready to recruit Paige and her dad
is
definitely not.
Do you think that she is or that she was offering lip service to that guy?
No, I think she is.
I think she is because she's always been the one who's been more gung-ho pro-Russia than him.
Yeah.
He was the one that they're always worried about. He was the one that could see the other side like, I don't know, I kind of like this life. And she was the one that was more militant.
You got to remember, she gave up. I mean, because they show her mother is dying.
Yeah.
And her mother did the same thing. Her mother gave her up for state service.
Yep.
So she has this built into her head that that's what mothers do. She gives up, you give their daughters to Russia.
See, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I think they're so brilliant with how they kind of play with the internal emotion because in the very beginning, she's having that dream where she's throwing her daughter into the deep end.
Yeah.
When no one's looking kind of thing. And that plays into this insecurity of forcing her daughter into something she doesn't want to do. But at the same time, like you're saying, the mother phone call.
Or is that reinforcing that she's willing to teach Paige the hard way?
She didn't seem happy about it, though.
Yeah.
But
it seemed like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Something but she's working against.
But she's never... She's always kind of... More than him... Always kind of has to literally physically battle her way through her emotions, whether it's taking it out on him or taking it out like where she's the one who's always a little bit more abusive than him,
Can we talk about how great Kerry Russell is in this show?
Well,
by the way,
Kerry Russell, she should be at least nominated for. I know it's a bullshit thing, but she should be nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah, she is so good in this because not just the physical stuff.
Oh, no.
Which she does great.
Yeah.
Not just the sexy stuff, which she does great.
Wow,
But the sort of the conflict that, like Grant is saying, she's got this conflict that we're not even sure where her head is at, but you can tell she's conflicted. You know?
I mean, it's just...
And Matthew Rhys.
I mean, yeah, Matthew Rhys is too. Great.
He's a chameleon.
And actually, yeah. and I think the funny thing is because Paige is right in the... she's really going lefty.
Yeah.
You know, she's, you know, doing the stuff for anti-war, all that stuff. So she's actually ready
She's right for recruitment, yeah.
She's ready for it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think that's going to be interesting, where I think Paige... will be open to listen to it.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I don't know if she'll take, like, We've Been Living a Lie really well. But
what's the husband's name?
Oh my gosh,
she's Elizabeth. I don't remember his name.
Philip. Yeah.
See, because I imagine that they're both kind of leaning toward that we don't want this life for our kid.
Yeah.
Although she would be more willing to bend.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, they don't know that they're gonna lose.
Yeah.
They think that it's the best way is to, I mean, that they're going to win this war and then they'll be heroes.
They won't think to assimilate. I mean, what year are we in? Like
83 or 84. It should be 84 because Reagan was shot in 83.
Yeah.
That was last year. So it's probably like late 83, early 84. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
well, I hope Brezhnev
they all go see
died.
Ghostbusters.
Brezhnev died.
Brezhnev just died, yeah.
So it was definitely...
Spoilers.
Yeah.
So, for history.
And they said Paige is 14 right now, so she wouldn't be 19 until... The end of
basically, time. Paige is basically Maya and Randy's age.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I mean, okay. We also got the information that, you know, they have the sketch artist.
Yeah.
And did you think that was like supposed to be a flicker of, I wonder if my neighbors are actually spies?
I don't think he's caught on yet. I think he's going to be the guy who gets caught unawares because he couldn't see it, and it's gonna wreck him.
And I think it's also because he's still trying to deal with his ex-wife. He's still thinking about the Russian lady.
I think he's supposed to be basically off his game.
Right.
Because otherwise we'd be asking the question, how did this guy not know?
Right.
I also think I love seeing all the stuff inside the Residentura.
Oh.
The Russian stuff. Like the stuff with... The fallout of what happened with Nina and how that's affecting everybody.
Oh, well, wait a second.
I don't like
you know, no,
oh,
what,
really? I love
well,
you, that
well,
part.
Well, I could see maybe why. Again, knowing the history and also paralleling it with what's going on now is brilliant. Because if you understand, because people, not to get on, slight topic, it's like one of the things when we invaded Iraq.
Yeah.
The Russians were saying, what the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing
we did
going
this
in
20
Afghanistan?
Years ago.
Yeah.
You can't go to Afghanistan. Afghanistan. We did this. It didn't work. And so you see the same shit that was going on with us happen with them in the 80s.
Yeah.
With that, you know, the guy getting shot. And I just thought that was interesting.
Well,
like,
and it's,
I was thinking about ISIS and the whole thing. Like, man, this shit has not changed.
Well, it's
know?
The thing. It's the guy talking. It's Oleg saying, we need to get out of there.
Right.
And the guy saying, the guy taking him aside saying, you can't say that.
Right.
It would. It'd be like standing up in Bush and saying, we shouldn't invade Iraq. It's like the same. It's the same
but
thing.
But it is. It's one of those things where just knowing history it just really reinforces, like, this is stupid shit and this stuff has been going on for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And we have no idea what to do. And as a superpower, if Russia can do it, we can't do it. We don't know what's going on. I just, I love that. I hope
I did too. I love seeing inside the. And seeing the parallels today.
And I don't know if anybody...
It sound a lot more interesting than what I got when I actually watched
it. Well, again, maybe because we're watching it from that historical perspective of really understanding, like, man, because we were old enough to know...
I remember when Russia was in Afghanistan.
That
was hearing about that all the time.
Well, remember, well, that was the whole thing. They had a Rocky... the third Rambo was about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, they were in Afghanistan, so Rambo went and helped the Afghanis.
G.I. Joe, in the comics, G.I. Joe... Helped out the Taliban.
Helped out the Taliban to drive the Russians.
It is messed
up. I'm telling you, it is crazy. And when you look at that history, that's why when people went in the early 2000s, you're like, what are you doing? Why are we in here? This is crazy. So anyway, but that's what the great thing about this show is that it's got so many levels of so much depthness to it that I think you can watch it as a historical fan. Yeah. You can watch it as for the sex because look at the Kama Sutra. And,
The Kama Sutra soon killed me. It was so funny.
I was like, whoa, that is... Again, something I had not really seen on television before. Like,
they're not afraid to be sexy. They're not afraid to use sex for humor either.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And then they're still having all the sex with the other partners too, which is just
And then there's all these questions of loyalty.
Right. Yeah.
You know that's the big theme, not just in the marriage, but the theme of, you know, him and his fake wife.
Right.
And the girl he basically turned into a spy in a war.
Right.
And what happens there,
her and this new guy that she's training.
And her loyalty.
Yeah.
That eventually gets her in real trouble.
And loyalty to Mother Russia, and that's why I guess it was when when you're getting back to Carrie Russell and the confusion in her head.
Yeah.
She's trying to be loyal to all these conflicting programs or whatever, it's amazing and fascinating to see her go through all that shit and think about, like,
yeah.
I mean, what do you do? Like, you've got your family, you got your husband you love, but then you got to do all this stuff for Russia, and you love the idea of Russia, but you haven't seen it in a long time. Your mother's dying. And I don't know. I just
there's also the 80s spycraft stuff, from the wigs and the disguises to the how they recruit an asset and trick them into thinking they're working for the Swedish government.
Yeah.
All this kind of stuff. The way that they did recruitment, it's so fascinating to me.
Yeah, it might, and I can see why people may not like it or just don't understand or think that's the boring part, but yeah, it just hits a really sweet spot.
Yeah, for me too. It's right. I mean, the funny thing about Americans is I'm never really anticipating it.
Yeah.
Like, it when it's on my DVR, I don't always go right to it. I'll watch other stuff first. But every time I watch it, I'm completely engaged and remember how much I love the show.
Yeah. And plus, it's smart because they have subtitles. So you actually have to read it, you know?
Yeah, you have to pay attention.
With all the Russian stuff.
When I was watching it, I did recognize that if anyone tried to just jump in and start at season 3,
no.
It's got so many different webs.
Yeah, no.
Like the plot lines are going all different directions.
Yep.
Like, you can't know. I mean, what, Phillip's jumping into costumes left and right with no explanation. You have to have known from the beginning what's going on.
This is one of those you have to watch from season 1.
Yeah.
You cannot jump in on any later city or mid-season. You have to watch from season 1 on, and you have to be part of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Greg, you had another show that you wanted to discuss that was on...
It was on this channel called Pivot. Now, I have to credit Alan Sepinwall because, I don't know, I was just kind of cruising on the internet and he had this thing up about this show called Fortitude.
Okay.
Now, and when I first read about it, I thought it was... Pivot was redoing a BBC show. But this is one of those rare things where it's actually, this is the first series. It's a series 1, 12 episodes, and it's being produced by Sky Vision and Pivot, which is Sky Vision. I think that's the BBC stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same, it's like all new. So I was looking it up thinking, oh, I wonder who did this before. So it's a brand new show. And it takes place, in a settlement of Fortitude in, in the Arctic Circle somewhere, I can't pronounce it, Svalbard, Svalbard, whatever. So, and it is basically a psychological thriller, which kind of is like Broadchurch, where it's a small community, and there's a couple of horrific murder, and you got to try to figure out what's going on, or who killed who, do you have different political interests? Because it's like the mayor of the town is this woman who is, and I'm going to mess up all these names, Sophie Grobel. She was, I guess, the original star of The Killing when it was in Norway.
The original version.
Original version. She's great. And so she's playing she's the governor who wants to do all this expansion. But then there's these Arctic researchers who find like these mammoth bones.
Oh man, and so, the cast on this.
No, the cast is great. Christopher Eccleston.
Michael Gambon.
Michael Gambon. Stanley Tucci's great. I love him. Stanley Tucci should be on TV more. He comes in as like this. He's an American.
I have no problem with this.
He's American who works for Scotland Yard, who's coming in to investigate, who happens to know about the murders like right away, and they're trying to figure out, hey, how do you know about this all the way? And then the sheriff is Richard Dormer, who was also in Game of Thrones.
Okay. I was like, he looks really familiar.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a murder mystery, a lot of town loyalties or disloyalties, and it's great. The scenery is really cool, plays into it.
The shots
are beautiful.
Looks
makes
gorgeous.
You want to go up to Iceland and visit, and even though I hate the cold, and it really wraps you in, and I like it. I'm going to keep up on it, and it made me find a new channel on my cable system I had no idea existed.
Yeah.
Because Pivot is just, it's like pivot.tv. You should go see if you've got it, if you've got cable.
It's on Thursdays, and it just debuted,
last week.
Yeah, week.
Yeah, so I watched it last week.
Okay.
If you've got extra time, I think it's worth it. And just because, I mean, the acting is great, the writing is great. And the way the guy was murdered wasn't like your typical way, and because they all have guns, because there's polar bears everywhere, everybody carries a gun with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes
that's
they think
why it, I carry a gun.
Yeah. So yeah, especially in Texas.
Or if you're on the island of Lost,
yeah,
or you have to have a gun.
You know, they might be polar bears, or I don't know, werewolves or something up there.
Werewolves.
yeah, it's a really good show so far. It's drawn me in, so it's another one on a Thursday night.
Awesome. Nice. Glad to have that on my radar.
Yep. Yep.
One more thing I wanted to note for our audience, because we're going to be wrapping up now, but. Next week, I think we plan on talking about another new Amazon pilot, mm-hmm. which is called The Man in the High Castle.
I will catch up on it by then.
I wanted to again put that on y'all's radar because just a quick little synopsis of this. This is by, who'd you say, Vonnegut?
Werewolf? Yeah, no, it's by a werewolf.
It's by a werewolf.
Named Philip K. Dick.
Philip K. Dick, yeah. Anyway, it is based off of a famous... Philip K. Dick, is it a short story or a book?
I think it's a short story. I'm not 100% sure.
Anyway, the premise is like, what if Nazi Germany won and took over Americas, and it jumps ahead to the 60s and how people are living then.
Yeah.
And
what if you had to work in an ethically diverse workplace in the 1960s that the Nazis controlled?
And what if Nicolas Cage was your boss?
What if Nicolas Cage was your boss? And he was a werewolf.
Anyway, we're going to discuss that next week, but put that on radar. Check it out if you have a chance, because we'll be discussing it. Randy, Greg.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Another fun episode. Maybe a few too many werewolves in it. Thank you, audience, for checking us out. Please, once again, go to iTunes. Give us that 5-star rating and review. Helps out the show. Be sure to like us on Facebook and on Twitter, where you can ask us questions each week for our new episode. If you guys have suggestions for episodes, go ahead and send those in. Please comment on this episode. Let us know what you thought. If you guys want us to discuss hit on any other shows, put that on our radar. And until next week,
TV Dudes out.
Great. That was great.
Let's electric feel now. Do what you feel.